Welcome back to episode 25 of Sports Castle, halfway to a ton. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
Mate, it's been a big week in local sport.
Top trio go big in Black Diamond.
The Lions roar again.
Blacks win on back of Beatty's radar.
The Gilly Jets back with magic display.
Devil is in the detail as leaders stumble again.
And the Greyhounds race towards finals in fine form. All that and more in local sport. As we do, mate, we'll start off with the Black Diamond AFL. As we touched on in the headlines there was some bumper scores, but the first one we'll start off with was an absolute cracker. So Killarney Vale 11-8-74. They got up over Warners Bay 7-10-52. Probably a little bit of an upset for some, mate. I don't think you tip the Dogs, but the Bombers, they're starting to come into some really good form. And, mate, at halftime, it was anyone's game. It was 33-26, and the Bombers just outshone that premiership quarter. 21-8 to get a good lead on Warners Bay. So three-quarter time, they obviously led there 54-34, and Warners Bay just couldn't close that gap. Scott Reed, the best for Killarney Vale with four goals. Mate, the Bombers, are they the real deal?
Could be, mate. Late season push to make that top seven.
They're well in there, mate. They can't miss now, I don't think. Well, I think it's only Gosford that can miss.
They're on the same amount of wins as Warners Bay, so that's good to see. But I suppose Warners Bay will be disappointed, but it's only a short trip for them compared to some of the other teams down there. But, Killarney Vale obviously got home with the chocolates, and they'll be singing from the grandstand, mate.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Speaking of Central Coast winners, Wyong Lake 17-12, 114. Beat Maitland Saints 9-4-58. Jared Cross with 5. Lee Moore with 4 goals. It's been a while between drinks for the Magpies.
Has, mate. It was the 4 wins. Was it 3 in the first 4?
Yeah, something like that, mate. So
they might be making a late season.
Well, it pretty much comes down to now. They can still make it, obviously. But it's getting, I think they've pretty much got to win all 3 games just because of where their percentage sits versus Gosford. But it's doable. And that win doesn't do them any harm, that's for sure. They had to win there, and they did it. It wasn't dominant, but it was, comfortable enough, almost a 10-goal win. So, speaking of dominant wins, mate, Cardiff, 28 goals, 24 behinds, 192. Singleton, 3 goals, 119. Singleton essentially sit fourth, maybe. Well, they sit fifth at the moment, but Warners Bay is still to get past City. If Warners Bay lose that game, I believe they drop behind Singleton. So they essentially sit fourth, mate, which means, realistically, they're the next team behind this top three, and there's nearly 200 points between them. It really shows a disparity in the competition.
Yeah, there's a massive gap. I know we've harped on about it all year, but it looks like the top three are really starting to show their premiership credentials, I suppose. And, this time of year, they're, 28 goals, that's a good kicking practice.
Yeah, mate. Zach Metcalf for 5. Jack Lennon, best on ground, and 4 goals. And Lockie Price, 4 as well. It'll be certainly interesting to see as these big dogs come up against each other. The other two big dogs both had big wins as well. Terrigal Avoca, 34 goals, 18, 222. To Gosford, 1 goal, 5, 11. Mark Skews with 9 goals and a best on ground, as you'd imagine. And Newcastle City, 33 goals, 16, 214. Defeated Lake Macquarie, 1 goal, 1-7. Pat Gillingham, 12 goals, best on ground, rocking that number 69 jersey as only he does.
Yeah, two very impressive displays, mate. Obviously, City are sitting third, but I suppose they'll be hoping to make a late play for the minor premiership, but I don't think they will because Terrigal's percentage is 519%.
Yeah, mate, exactly right. And Terrigal would have to, basically what we're saying there is Terrigal would have to drop 2 games and Cardiff drop 1 and City win every game on the way home, which is possible but not likely, especially when we have a look at the in that Terry Lavoca have this weekend and the fact that they do play Nelson Bay, who had the bye last weekend. But, mate, the thing that I take from that is, they were 2 massive wins, but Terry Lavoca's was a 211-point win over Gosford. Newcastle City's was a 207-point win, so essentially the same margin against Lake Macquarie. I'm telling you, there's 100 points difference between Gosford and Lake Macquarie on their day. So, or at least 60. So, realistically, that Terrigal Avoca wins 10 goals better. Mate, they're going to be really hard to stop.
They are, mate. They are. And I suppose that's why they're top for a reason, mate. And I suppose it's Cardiff and City's they're just got to keep plugging away, mate.
Yeah, mate. And we'll have a quick run through before we wrap up the Black Diamond and go through the runs home for the final three rounds. But we'll start with round 16. Interesting one. Killarney Vale, they're in a pretty rich vein of form at the moment. They do come up against Newcastle City. For mine at the moment, Killarney Vale are probably, even though they're sitting in sixth, they're probably the fourth strongest team on form at the moment. That win over Warners Bay demonstrates that. But even hosting Newcastle City at home, I'd expect City to win this one by probably 8 to 10 goals.
Yeah, mate, I couldn't disagree with you there. They might be the best of the rest, but...
it's not saying much, mate.
Yeah, no. It's a three-horse race, but I'd be very surprised if a winner comes out of anywhere out of other than the top three.
Mate. I think you'd be brave to back against Sarah Golovoka, but you'd certainly... I reckon you could get... if there was betting markets, you'd probably get at least $30 about anyone outside of those top three winning. Next up, mate, Maitland, they host Cardiff. I can't see Maitland chalking their second win here at Max McMahon over at Rutherford on Saturday, mate. The Hawks, that's the first time we've really seen that killer instinct where they've piled a lot of points on. They did that impressively, as we saw. They didn't quite crack that 200, but again, they did it. Unlike Newcastle City, who did it against Lake Macquarie, they did it against Singleton, who've been, a fairly competitive force in recent weeks. So, mate, I expect Cardiff to... Not another round of the same as they build into the finals.
Yeah, Hawks by 150, I reckon.
Yeah, mate, the next one. Now, this one, looking at the ladder, is crucial. It is 5th versus 7th. It is Singleton hosting Gosford. Both sides coming off absolute drubbings at the hands of Cardiff and Terrigal-Avoca. If Gosford can get in the mix here, a win would secure that 7th finals place, which would see them play Cardiff again in the first week of finals, most likely, or maybe Newcastle City. So it's not a huge reward, but finals football's finals football.
That's right, mate. That's right. And I think Singo will lift at home, mate. Gosford's got an awful big travel there, but I think Singleton at home will be looking to bounce back, and I think they'll get it done, mate, in a close one.
Yeah, I think Singleton will have one eye on really needing to win this one if they want to have any chance of, as we said, leapfrogging Warners Bay into fourth, and they'd be very aware of the Bombers putting the pressure on them behind them. I expect Singleton to win this one and really push hard because that fourth spot does come with it, a home semi-final. So for their first year in Black Diamond, they'd certainly like to host a semi-final at Rose Point Park.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be a massive crowd, mate. As many as they get at Rugby Park.
Mate, the local derby next up, mate, and again, I think this one will be a little one-sided. Lake Macquarie host Warners Bay. Warners Bay will be smarting after that loss down at Killarney Vale last weekend and will be looking to bounce back out at Tolkabar Park at Turralba there, mate.
I think our main man, an acquaintance of the show, might get a run for Warners Bay, mate.
Yeah, are you hearing something or are you just pulling that out of your ass?
Oh, nah. Well, they were disappointing last week, mate, and, Buzz is as good as kick as anyone.
Yeah, I'm hearing whispers he might turn out in fourth grade for Southern Beaches.
Finally. Been playing it for 24 weeks.
Yeah, I think he wants to get hold of someone from Waratah or something special. I'm not quite sure what's happening, so... Be interesting. Either way, mate, Warners Bay by plenty. The final match of the round, mate, this is the Bar TV match of the round. Terrigal-Avoca host Nelson Bay, Hilton Moore Oval, East Gosford. Former North Melbourne Kangaroo, as we touched on the show a few weeks ago, Drew Petrie will make his cameo appearance. And funnily enough, this weekend, also umpire appreciation round, Daryl Lark will umpire his 300th Black Diamond Cup match. First player or umpire in history of Black Diamond to chalk 300 games. So, mate, hats off. It's you've refereed 100 and something. Yeah. It goes about 120, 130, somewhere there.
Yeah, 128 or something, yeah.
Just roughly. So you're almost halfway there, mate. So you've only got, by my calculations, another 12 or so years to get there.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know if you'll still be running around then. Probably you'll have 9 kids, but...
Yeah, that's right.
You probably get overtaken by Byron by then, mate.
Yeah, maybe.
He's got a referee in his blood. I've seen him play. But, mate, again, another drubbing on the cards here, especially when you add in a bloke who was playing AFL last year.
Yeah, mate, I reckon it will be. And I reckon Daryl will be starting the boat race as Terrigal is singing the happy song and that Bay will be having a big bus trip home, I reckon, mate.
And she's a fair trip, Nelson Bay to Terrigal, but or East Gosford where they play. So
might stop in at Shelley Beach for a game of golf, mate.
Maybe. So a big shout out to Daryl Luck. Well done, mate, on his 300th Black Diamond Cup match. Big honour to be the first person to ever participate in 300 matches, whether as an official or a player, mate. So that brings us a wrap. Wyong Lakes do have the bye, which is going to really hurt their finals chances. As we said, they really needed to win Well, I mean, two wins and Gosford losing both, they could get there, but they got a slightly better percentage. But, you know, they need results to go in their favour. And just having a look, mate, Terrigal, they play, they've got quite a tough run home. They do have Nelson Bay this week, but then they finish with Cardiff and Newcastle City. So there's some bumper clashes to come.
Bit of spice there, mate. Bit of spice to finish.
Yeah. Cardiff, they finish off with Maitland this week, then Terrigal, and then Warners Bay. So they'd be confident in getting probably two wins there. And obviously that Terrigal match is going to be the big one next week. Newcastle City, they've got Killarney Vale, a bye, and Terrigal. So that bye is going to hurt them having a chance at that minor premiership. They've realistically got to win both those games. That'd finish them on 13 wins and hope that Terrigal don't have a win, which is unlikely considering they're playing Nelson Bay this week. So I can't see City getting home there into the minor premiership. Warners Bay, they play Lake Macquarie, Maitland, and then finish off with Cardiff. So they'd be counting on two wins and hoping some results below them go to script for them so that they can run fourth and hold on to that finals match. They will have a catch-up game against Newcastle City as well. So they've got four games to come. Singleton, they've got Gosford and Nelson Bay. They'd be hoping to win both of those, which would see them to 10 wins. However, their percentage is weaker than Warners Bay. So if Warners Bay did manage to upset either Cardiff or Newcastle City, they'd leap them again. Killarney Vale, mate, they play Newcastle City and then they play Gosford next week, which that could be a really crucial game, especially if Gosford loses Singleton this week. Gosford start to be on tenterhooks. And then Nelson Bay in the final round. We won't worry about running through the bottom three teams because they're all out of the mix, mate. But the final one, Wyong Lakes, they've got the bye this weekend. They then play Lake Macquarie, who they'd be aiming to beat, which allowing that Gosford were to lose to Singleton this week and then lose to Killarney Vale, that would see the two teams pull level. Round 18, Wyong Lakes play Gosford. It could be an elimination final before the finals.
The Bar TV feature match, I'd say, mate.
Surely.
Oh, well.
City, maybe not. City. Newcastle City versus Terrigal of Oakar. Yeah. Gareth, get something happening. Two games that week.
Two games. Maybe they could play one after the other, mate. Double header.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I'll put my hand up. I'll go and commentate it if needed.
Heard it here first.
Have microphone, will travel.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, that'll be, I suppose we'll preview at that in the next couple of weeks, mate. But I suppose there's a bit of, if you're a fan out there, there's a bit to look forward to in the Black Diamond.
Mate, I'm going to call it. I'm going to give it to you now. So we're going to have Terrell of Oakham minor premiers. Newcastle City will finish second. Cardiff will finish third. Singleton will finish fourth. Killarney Vale will finish, no, sorry, Warners Bay will finish fifth due to the fact they play Lake Macquarie and Maitland and they'll have a big percentage boost there. Killarney Vale will finish in sixth. And I'm going to go with Wyong Lakes to sneak into seventh.
Wow.
They'll win three at the start and three at the end, and that'll be just enough for them to sneak home, I think.
No, I think Gosford's home, mate.
Gosford, who are they going to beat on the way home, mate? You've tipped against them this week.
Yeah.
Killarney Vale's in better form than Singleton.
They'll beat Wyong Lakes in the last round, mate.
All right, mate, it'll be a cracker. So, you know, I'd have a bet on it with you, but we know you welched on your last one, so.
That's right, mate.
Yeah, you still owe us two skulls. So, mate, the people of the show do not forget. Moving right along, mate, we'll jump into the NRL. We'll fire through this quickly. The results from the weekend, we'll go through the results. Then we'll talk about the Knights game. And then we'll talk about the other elephant in the room. Parramatta 14, Dogs 8, Cronulla Sharks 28, Canberra Raiders 24, the Broncos 50, Panthers 18. What a win that was, mate.
That was a surprise and a half.
The Knights 30, Mitch Barnett 2 tries, Nick Meaney a try, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, the NIB kid, scored an SKD with a try. Kenny Seo, the flying winger, 4 out of 5 conversions and 1 from 1 penalty goal. Titans 24, so a good win for the Knights as they bounce back. Tigers upset the Rabbitohs 22-6. And then on Saturday night it all changed. All the home teams had won the first 5, and then it flipped the script. Cowboys 10, Dragons 24, Warriors 6, Storm 12, which saw your purple cheeks get to the top of the ladder, mate. And the Seagulls 24, Roosters 56. Some big scores on the weekend.
Was some big scores. A couple of close scores, but
the Knights, mate. Let's get onto that one quickly.
Knights.
They played quite well. Played pretty well, mate. Mitchell Pearce. Is that who you're referring to? Or
yeah.
I was going to say because Kalyn Ponga has been named, but he's no certainty to play this weekend, and we'll get to that in a minute.
He was running around He was walking around the golf course on Charlestown on Sunday Arvo, mate.
Yeah, playing with the family.
He was, but Meaney had an absolute cracker of a game, mate. From all reports.
Yeah. So. Obviously, the Knights, good to see them winning there. They are still a mathematical chance, but their for and against is horrendous. They're not going to make it. Realistically, even the Raiders are gone now. And that's probably a good segue into the next one, mate. Refereeing.
Oh, that the elephant in the room. I thought you were referring to Robbie Farah getting called a cat by Sam Burgess.
No, that's not the elephant in the room, mate. That's just quality.
That's quality.
Mate, let's get on to the elephant in the room, mate. The referees, the flag in the air. What are your thoughts? What fixes it? What's the story? What do you mean that led to a try? Didn't you watch? Mate, do you do any research? What are you doing? I've done a lot of research this week. No, it's good.
Yes.
Then the dog ate your homework.
I did. I've been copying it left, right, and centre. But no, I've read a little bit up on it, mate. But
all right. So obviously, for anyone that hasn't seen it and lives under the same rock that you do, Sharks are on the attack. Ball is passed. It goes across the front of Jesse Ramien, I believe. There appears that there may have been a touch. Everyone's not sure, sort of hesitates as they do. Winger catches the ball, steps towards the sideline, is a clear foot inside the sideline, steps back. Touchy half raises his flag. The referee puts the whistle to his lips. Raiders players stop. Leads to Cronulla player getting the ball back on the inside and scoring. And it then goes the video referee. The referee on field says no try. Video referee overrules, awards a try. So the first thing is...
Hands on heads.
Well, the first thing is, mate, what's the first thing you're taught as a kid when you're playing rugby or rugby league or any other sport?
Play to the whistle.
The whistle didn't go, so keep playing. The saying isn't play to the flag.
Yeah.
It's play to the whistle. Like, mate, I'm a Raiders fan, but we didn't do enough to win the game, so you can't blame it on that. There's always going to be human error. Nathan Brown's come out and said about the captain's challenge. Where do you stand on that?
I've got no issue with it, mate.
How would you be as a rugby union referee if they had a captain's challenge?
Oh, mate, it's a different sport. I wouldn't like it, but in this game, I don't have an issue with it.
Well, hang on. No, not in this game, in the NRL, in sport as a whole. We've got to look at it as a whole
competition. Well, they do it in tennis and it works well there.
Very different sport. It has a lull in between points.
Yeah.
We already have referees with confidence at an all-time low because everything gets scrutinised by the media with freeze frames and all of this. And, you know, they're not game to make a decision because if it's wrong, then they're lynched for it. I don't think a captain's challenge helps that. I think the issue you're going to arise with a captain's challenge too is the captain's challenge wouldn't have changed this. If a captain had a challenge this, because the referee wouldn't have gone to the video referee, the referee would have said no try. The Cronulla captain challenges it is the only way it changes. But if the Raiders, you know, if the referee goes toward the try and the Raiders player goes, oh, I want to challenge it, it goes upstairs, the video referee decided it was a try. The video referee made an error. It's a human error. Human errors are always going to be part of our game while there's humans involved in the game. I did some stats on the game.
What did they do?
Well, I did some stats on the game, mate. These referees, a couple of them have been dropped to New South Wales Cup, I believe.
The toughies and that, yeah.
Yep. And one of the other referees has been demoted, which is a whole other kettle of fish in itself. Isaac Luke's gone off out today. But at the end of the day, the touch judge and referee made one significant mistake each. The touch judge put his flag up. Once he puts his flag up, the referee should blow his whistle. The referee didn't blow his whistle. The video referee then made another error. So it was a combination of three errors. But that's three errors between three guys, yeah? Following the math so far. I think the math that I came up with was there was something like 48 missed tackles, 12 errors and 8 penalties against the Raiders on the weekend. Now, that adds up to about nearly 70 mistakes. You divide that by 17, which is how many players there are in a squad, that's 4 mistakes per person, 4 critical mistakes. We're not talking about ran the wrong line, didn't offload when they should have, you know, fell off a tackle and allowed a quick play the ball. They're not counting all of that. So that's 4 errors, critical errors that have led to something else occurring. How many of those players got dropped over those 4 errors versus each of those match officials 1 error?
0.
There's the problem. So, mate, if I was the NRL, I would have gone out. I would have appointed Ricky McFarlane and Gavin Reynolds, who were the two main people involved in it. They were the referee with the whistle in the mouth. I would have appointed them to probably the Roosters and Dragons on Sunday afternoon, backed them and said, we know you're both, you know, 150, 200 game referees and touch judges. You've been in the NRL for a long time. We're going to back you. We know you're not going to make that same mistake again. Like, going and dropping them, that's not, you know, they're not learning anything from that. So, I don't think the captain's challenge is, you know, the right thing. I think what we need to look at is simplifying the rules. The majority of the rules haven't changed drastically since, you know, the 1900s, but the technology that the players and things are using, well, even going back to the 1990s, referees didn't have to deal with the wrestle. They didn't have to deal with block runners. They didn't have to deal with a lot of this other stuff they're having to deal with. So let's try and simplify that a little bit where we can. The other thing is, let's get rid of the ref's fault culture. It's shit. Everyone wants to blame the referees as soon as their team doesn't win. Let's have a good look in the mirror when our team doesn't win.
Stop cheating.
Well, it's not even about cheating. Let's have a look at, in the mirror when our team doesn't win, and have a look at the missed tackles, the errors, all those things. And yeah, like, there might be one decision at the end of the game that looks like it was crucial, and that cost your team the game in your mind. But if they didn't let in the 5 tries before that, they would have won. It's simple. If you leave the game to the point that in the 78th or 79th minute, one minor decision in the scheme of things, one of thousands of decisions that the match officials are making on the day, changes the game, you have not done enough for your team to earn the win. Take it beyond the referees and you won't have a problem. So, I mean, and that's at all levels, but the media's got a lot to answer for here. So change the media scrutiny. They need to call all the media in and just go, exactly. You don't see the AFL guys criticising the umpires. You don't see the rugby union guys criticising the referees in the press consistently. Here and there sometimes when there's a major issue, yes, but not every week. This has been going on for years. It's not going to change, but it should. The media has a lot to answer for here. Take the pressure away from the referees. And the other thing is, if you want to whinge about the quality of referees, start paying them more than what the minimum salary for the players is. Because at the moment, there's no incentive. You know, as a rugby referee, mate, you know.
Yep.
And I'm talking at the higher levels, you know, some of the guys that will push on. Super rugby referee probably gets what? 10 to 15% of what a super rugby player gets?
Yeah, they're, I think, base... From what numbers I've heard, 80 to 100,000. That's okay, for a full-time gig.
Okay, so that that's for the referees.
Like the Super Rugby.
That's what they're on. So they're on about 100 grand. Most of the players that are playing at Super Rugby level, well, I suppose you'd have a few that would be on...
The lower tier ones, yeah. But
the majority of the players would be on 250 or...
Take into account Angus Gardner. He's our best referee.
Yeah.
Obviously, he gets paid Super Rugby and test allowances on top or whatever.
Yeah.
But... his wage compared to Pocock or Folau or Dan Carter.
I'm not trying to suggest that the top referee will ever get anywhere.
No, I'm not saying he needs $1 million.
But anywhere near that. But what we need to do is have some parity and go, okay, the average player wage is 300 and... Well, the average player wage is probably 350,000,
400,000. In the NRL, yes.
No, we're talking Super Rugby still. It'd still be pretty close to that, I think.
Yeah.
Once you allow for everything. So therefore, a referee who referees only Super Rugby should be on 50 to 60% of that. Because while there's more incentive, you'll have more players who are fringe players who might get there and go, geez, there's another pathway for me. You know, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to push through. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to play Super Rugby. I'm playing at a really high level. Like, I'm a half-decent shoot shield player, but I'm 28 years old and I'm not going to make the Waratahs now. Is there a pathway here? And the same with the NRL. I mean, they've done it with some, and, you know, whatever your thoughts are on Henry Perinara, but you need to put more money into these pathways. You know, the old saying goes, and this is not a criticism of the referees, but you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. The more you pay, the more incentive there will be for people to take up that role. Anyway, mate, enough of a rant on that. Let's move on to round 20 action. I could go for hours on it, and you know that. So round 20, Thursday night, 7:50, the Broncos host the Sharks, mate, up at Suncorp. How do you like this one?
It's a bit of a good one, mate. Two form teams. But
depend on the week, mate. Go back 2 weeks and the Broncos weren't form teaming against the Warriors.
Well, they won 3 out of 4 now, I think, other than that crappy performance against the Warriors. But I'm going to go Brisbane at home, mate, in an arm wrestle, I reckon.
Mate, I think the Sharks offer a better forward pack. I'm looking forward to the Fifita Lodge battle. That will be excellent. And I'm going to go the Sharks to get home maybe by 8.
8.
Next up, mate, the Cowboys host the Knights. Friday, 1800, 6 o'clock, that is 1300 Smiles Stadium. Kalen Ponga has been named to return at fullback. Connor Watson has been named to play. I saw a quote from Nathan Brown today. He said, "We're hoping to have one of them. We'll be very lucky if we, we'll be lucky to get one, very lucky if we get two."
Ponga in, other one out.
Yeah, well, mate, it'll depend on injuries. Obviously, it's not a choice thing. So Ponga returns. He has been named at one. Meaney's on the extended bench. Sione comes back into the centres. Dennis is out, which is good, I think. I don't think he's been great for them. And Ross and SKD switch from centres to wing, so Nathan Ross will line up in the centres. Sean Kennedy-Dow on the wing. Mate, can the Knights, mate, if they've got the two prodigal sons, mate, Kalen Ponga Cup, mate.
He'll be looking for a big one, won't he?
Well.
He will.
I've heard that about some of the Knights players. They're looking for big ones.
They do. But I can't see the Knights winning up there this week, mate. I think Jonathan Thurston will have the boys primed.
Why is that, mate? I'm curious.
I don't know. I think he's had enough of losing and he doesn't want to go out with a wooden spoon, mate.
Mate, you would have thought he would have had enough of losing before now, mate. I can't go against the Knights, especially if Ponga plays. The Cowboys were very lacklustre against a Dragons side that didn't offer heaps last week. The Dragons played well, really well in patches, but it wasn't a consistent effort. And I think the Knights will get up here, you know, by a try. So split on two, mate. I think we might agree on this next one. The Bulldogs host the West Tigers in the main game Friday night, 5-8 at ANZ Stadium. Saying,
mate.
Yeah,
the 84,000 empty seats.
Yeah, mate, exactly right. So, mate, who do you like here?
Benji's boys, mate.
Yeah.
An acquaintance of the show, an ally of the show, mate. Benji
loves it.
Who do you got?
Mate, I'm going to the Tigers.
Good, we're agreeing.
Right, lovely, mate. So that's pretty straightforward. That one. Next up, mate, Manly and Penrith, the two sides that leaked the half tons last week. They clashed Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock at Lotto Land. Mate, some interesting choices here. Tyrone Peachy at fullback.
Really?
I thought you researched.
Not that one. I thought Dallin was back too.
He's on the wing, mate. He's on the wing.
Demoted. Well.
Well, he hasn't been demoted. He didn't play last week, so he's returned on the wing because his hamstring's not as good as they thought.
The wingers won't be getting any ball for the carry back if Peach is a fullback, mate. He'll be under the arm, but surely the Penrith's got to bounce back to the form they were about a month ago. Surely.
Well, who knows, mate? It's a funny old game. Does Manly of last week turn up, or Manly that played your Storm and probably should have beaten them turn up?
Yeah, well, nah.
It's a funny old game, the NRL.
Manly actually beat Melbourne earlier in the round. I was doing some research earlier. They beat them 28-4 about round 10. So they've got it in them.
Short answer?
Penrith.
I'm with the Panthers as well, mate. The fortress is a pillow fortress at the moment, the old Lotto Land. We return to the cavernous venue of ANZ Stadium on Saturday afternoon, 5:30. Not even 24-hour turnaround. Maybe about 20 hours between full-time and kickoff, if that. South Sydney host the Parramatta Eels, 5:30, ANZ. The Rabbitohs, can they bounce back from their loss to the Tigers, or do the Eels continue their winning run and put the wooden spoon behind them?
Nah, I think the Eels...
No to which bit, mate?
No, the Eels will not win this week, mate. No, they won't. I think South will bounce back. They wouldn't have been unhappy with Johnny Sutton's 300th game. Disappointing for him, but good on him. First South player to do it, but...
I see they're celebrating it officially at this home game.
Officially.
But mate, I think Robbie Farah might have had a little bit to do with the downfall of the Rabbits last week. I think he...
knew their game plan.
Mate, what about the West Tigers game plan, though? What we'll do is, say that we get extra subs, we'll tackle everyone with our heads and have five HIAs. Brilliant.
That's clever.
Genius. But yeah, mate, I think South will bounce back. Eels. I did see some funny footage. There was two blokes at the game last week, the Eels and the Bulldogs. And one fan of each team. And each time, they're sitting there with a wooden spoon between them. And each time, like, if the Bulldogs bloke team scored, he'd get up and hit his mate with the spoon.
And then vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa, mate. It's good to see some blokes having a laugh. So, but, yeah, I definitely think the Rabbitohs will get this one done, mate. But next up, mate, is the game of the season. The Purple Cheats hosting the Green Machine, Saturday, 7:30, Amy Park. Mate, are you going to put us out of our misery and just, you know, end even the mathematical hopes?
Yeah, mate. I think we will. We haven't really hit the heights of.
Mate, you've got as high as you can. You're on top of the ladder.
We're cruising along at the moment, mate. But
I think you're struggling. I'm going to be honest. I don't think cruising is the right word. I think you're struggling.
You're struggling, and we're sitting in first. That's good then.
No, you're struggling. You're getting the wins done, but yeah, you're struggling. Well, you're not playing as the Melbourne of old. You're missing a halfback, mate. You don't have a halfback.
Yeah. Messiah's left, mate. He's running around the tricolours.
Yeah, him and Mr. Morris.
Yes. Yeah. But, Melbourne, mate, by 16.
How much start will you give me?
14.
14 and a half?
No, 14.
14 flat. All right. I'll take 14 start. I have $5 on that. Get amongst it. You might actually pay. I know you won't scull the beer, so put cash on it. Mate, I think you'll get home, but again, I don't think it'll be pretty. I think it might be something like, you know, 20, let's go 23-15 or something. It'll be a really obscure score. Yeah, 23-16, I meant. Yeah, really obscure scoreline. But yeah, I think Melbourne, just the class of Smith, you can't back against as much as I'd like to, but I'll take that 14 start. Next one, mate, the demotion cup, the relegation cup. This is where all the referees come to die, apparently. Much to Isaac Luke's dismay and blow-ups at the NRL. And I'd be pissed off too if I was the Warriors, I'll be honest. Like, the Titans know their season's over, but it's a bit rough on the Warriors. 2 o'clock on Sunday, Cbus Super Stadium. Mate, they'll just be warming it up for a few weeks' time when the Jets head up there to take on the Gold Coast Knights this one.
They will, mate. And
the, Titans, the Warriors will probably have a bigger crowd than the Titans on the Gold Coast, mate. There's Kiwis everywhere up in that joint.
There is, mate. It's like Bondi. Well, yeah, but you don't know what you're going to get with the Warriors, do you?
They've got a very good record up there, mate, I will say.
Yeah, they've got a good team, mate. They're a great team on paper, but...
I don't think you can bag them too much. They nearly beat your Storm last week. They gave it to the Broncos the week before. Yeah, they had an off game the week before that, but they're in pretty good form, mate. They're a genuine top eight side.
Yeah, top eight, yeah. They were plugging away top four earlier in the year, but yeah,
I think they're only one win out of top four at the moment, and probably two. They're only two off first, so.
Yeah, I think they'll get it done, mate.
Yeah, I'll be on the Warriors here as well, mate. The final match of the round, mate, this is probably the final match of the round, is the match of the round. Sydney Roosters host the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Sunday... That should be 4:10 at Allianz Stadium, mate. The Roosters, they found some scoring form last week, and the Dragons got the job done up in North Queensland, which is no mean feat.
I think the Roosters with the South doing so well up until their disappointment minor blip last week, they probably snuck under the radar a little bit. But they got all their players back. But no, they're really hitting their form, and that's why they're paying Kronk $1 million a year, mate. And I can't see anything other than a Roosters win.
Yeah, mate, I'm going to go the Roosters as well. I think they finally found their attacking form. I just don't think the Dragons will be able to go with them. I expect this one to maybe be something like 36-20. I don't think defence is going to... I think their defence will be a bit improved on last week, the Roosters. But, yeah, mate, they look like they'll just... They look like they're playing against a bunch of blokes they pulled in off the street last week. So, yeah, and I'm sure Trent Robinson would have had a few words about the fact they did let in 24 points, but... I expect the Roosters to win, mate. We're getting long into this one. Let's get into Group 21 action.
Ooh,
mate, there's some interesting games, mate. Some big scores. Aberdeen, the ladder leaders, 76, defeated Greta Brankston, 12. Scone, 66, Denman, 8. And, mate, the big one, Musselbrook, 22, Singleton, 24. It was only some goal-kicking between them.
Singo coming home with a wet sail, mate.
And, do you know, after six rounds, so we've just had round 13, after six rounds, they had zero wins. They had one draw with Greta Brankston after six rounds.
And now they're on 13 points.
They've now won six of their last seven.
And a draw.
Well, yeah, the draw wasn't in those seven. The draw was earlier in the year when they drew with Greta Brankston. That's what I just said.
Sorry.
So, yeah, but they've had six wins in the last seven rounds. So that means they've beaten... Basically, I think now, because I think Musselbrook were the team they might have lost to, they've pretty much beaten everyone.
Form team of the Newcastle Sport, mate.
Right, they're up there. So, yeah, it sees the ladder now sit Aberdeen on 22, Scone on 20 after their win, Musselbrook 16, Singleton 13, Denman 6. Basically, that if Singleton were to win both their last two games and Musselbrook lose both their last two, they could switch places. Outside of that, it's just the minor premiership that's up for grabs. And obviously, Greta Brankston are down the bottom on negative one and a four against of minus 350. So this weekend, mate, Saturday afternoon, it's the minor premiership decider. Aberdeen Tigers hosting the Scone Thoroughbreds. Saturday, 4:40, McKinnon Field in Aberdeen. If you're within about 60 miles of this, get there. Down there. What am I doing on Saturday? I might go there. I think I'm going to look at some houses or something riveting in the morning, but we'll see how we go.
At Aberdeen. Nice.
Yeah, that's where I'm moving to. You can come up there to
number one the pod. Ticket holder in the fan club, mate.
Yeah, mate, get amongst it. So, who do you like?
I'm going to go Scone, mate.
Well, I'll go Aberdeen. I'll go the home side. I've been barracking for the Tigers all year, so I will see them. I think that'll see them have a win and take out the minor premiership. If not, it's going to come down to round 15 and for and against, which will be very interesting. But again, even if Wisconsin would have beaten by 20 here, the difference in for and against is 120 at the moment. So Aberdeen basically need to lose twice to lose the minor premiership from here. And then I believe it's a 4-team final, so they'll play each other again in 2 weeks' time. Next up, mate, Denman play Musselbrook. Denman have fallen in a heap in the last few rounds, and ever since Singleton's gapped them now, they've... I think they're just thrown in the towel, and I think Musselbrook will lock in third place and a match-up with Singleton in the first week of the finals with a win up at Denman on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, mate, I'm sticking with that prediction as well, mate.
And the final match of the round, mate, Greta Brankston hosting Singleton. Singleton will make it 7 out of their last 8 with this one.
They will, mate, and they'll be looking to get their plus or minus into the plus, mate. I don't know if they'll do it this week, but they might get it done by the end of the year.
The interesting thing is, mate, when we have a look at the draw, just a quick look ahead to next week, the 4 sides are all going to be in the finals. We'll all play each other next week. So Denman and Greta will play each other in the Who Cares Cup.
It's not even Battle of the Spoon.
No, but it'll be a bit, could be a bit of a grand final for them. Yeah, you know. Can Greta get a draw and get back 2-0? Scone will play Musselbrook and Singleton will play Aberdeen. And the way it plays out now, Aberdeen, and you know, barring something outrageous, Aberdeen and Scone will play in the first week of the finals. And Musselbrook and Singleton will play in the first week of the finals. So it'll be a good tune-up for all 4 sides to see where they're at going into the finals, mate. Especially, I guess, Singleton and Musselbrook will really be looking forward to having some tests after probably having a softer run this week.
Yeah, they will, mate. But, yeah, I suppose Singleton, you know, they've got themselves in a position now, so they'll be confident, I reckon, heading in.
Yeah, mate. Well, they knocked off Musselbrook last week, and that'll promise to be in a fortnight's time another cracker. Aberdeen
the week before or Scone the week before?
I think it might have been Scone, but yeah. Mate, there's plenty of upsets Singleton have thrown in there.
Plenty on offer in the Aerolax Group 21, mate.
Yeah, Group 21 brought to us by Aerolax. Poor old Troy's having a tough old year. I see he's back in training now with his busted ribs. Subscriber
of the pod, mate.
Exactly right, mate. So we might, mate, that's 3. I'm just going to say it now. Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League, mate. Next up, the A-grade. We'll just have a run through the A-grade this week. We won't go too deep in anything else. Just due to the fact there's it's sort of a general buy this weekend, but there are a few games. So Fingal Bay 10 were defeated by Stockton 34. Mate, Bauer Brothers show. Des Bauer a double, Daniel Bauer a try. Mate, it's all happening over there. The former Waratah and May East, you know, league and union players.
Cult heroes, mate. Cult heroes, but yeah, they're obviously doing wonders. Some
passionate players, weren't they?
They certainly were, mate, and they're doing wonders for Stockton, mate, and got another solid win under their belts, mate, and it was away from home, so that'll be even more
confidence. That it was, mate. It would have been a nice trip back from downtown Fingal Bay. Next up, Belmont South 26, defeated Katara 24. Chris Jones, a hat-trick in Katara's losing effort there, but Cade Snowden and crew, they march on, mate. That sees them creep into third place with other results.
Muzz will be very upset, mate.
Yeah, he'll be disappointed, mate, but I think Katara's looking all right for the finals, so... Mate, I think they'll be pretty happy that they, you know, Belmont South are probably the pre-season favourites. They won the Challenge Cup and they'll be certainly happy with that. Next up, mate, Dora Creek 38 defeated Shortland 18. The half-time score, Shortland 18, Dora Creek 0.
You're right.
So Dora Creek with a blitz in the second half down there at Neville Thompson Oval, which I did...
The best ground ever.
Yeah, mate. she was the winner of last month's... ground of the month, as we said. And we've
got get a free hour mo by Matthews?
She.
It's a she, he. You said she.
No, I didn't say she, mate. You need to get with the program. I don't think you listen. Bloke's name is Rod Gibson. He sent me a message. He did say that it's taken a bit of a toll, the frost that we've had the last few weeks, or the last week and a half, and it feels not as good as it was. But, he reckons a bit of rain, and it'll be back in no time. Beautiful Neville Thompson Oval.
Not as bad as the frost that it's hit Marcellin recently.
That'll be
nomination for the...
Be a lot like my ground at my grass at Head and Greeter, I would have thought. But, final match of the round, Cardiff. Mate, they continued on with another win, 30-28 over Raymond Terrace. Sees them pull level with Fingal Bay at the bottom of the ladder, mate. The Cobras, they're on the march. They've probably left it a bit late.
They reversed their season, mate. They've left it too late, but no, good on them. Good win, I suppose. So.
The exciting thing is, mate, if you have a look, I've got in front of us here the draw for the rest of the season. The final round of the year, they play each other. So it could genuinely be a wooden spoon battle. Could have wooden spoon bowl.
At least it's got meaning, not like the one in the Group 21.
We can't match fix just to get a result.
Oh, no, that's right. If Troy's boys pull their socks up, mate.
But let's have a look, mate. Stockton, they lead the A-grade there on 18 points. Shortland on 16. Belmont South and Dora Creek both on 14. They do have a game in hand, though, so one of them will go to 16, and Judah Foran against will go over Shortland. Katara, they're on 10. Raymond Terrace, 8. They haven't been in the greatest form lately, so they're really going to need to pull their finger out. Fingal and Cardiff both on 6. I just can't see either of them sneaking in. They need to win all three games with where their four and against is. I mean, even looking at Fingal Bay, they're sitting, you know, a four and against of 91 points difference. And poor old Cardiff, they've got a four and against difference of 145 to Katara. So they'd need to, I mean, they play against each other and they'd need to probably beat them by 30 to get home. So I can't see either of those guys sneaking in. Raymond Terrace have still got a faint hope, especially considering the week after the bye they will play Katara, but they've also got Stockton and Shortland on the way home. Mate, Stockton, they're sitting in the box seat. They play Raymond Terrace and Katara, who are both, you know, on the edge of that top five in the last two rounds and would probably be expecting to get two wins there. And they've got Belmont South, down at Belmont South next up, which is probably the big test for them.
Yeah, mate, that's right. Who are you picking, mate, for the minor premiership?
Having a look at the draw at the moment, mate, a week ago I would have said Shortland, but after they've been beaten by Dora Creek, they do have Fingal and Raymond Terrace on the way home, so they should chalk two wins and get to 20. Stockton would be counting on a win against Raymond Terrace 20, and there's an interesting, their last home game for some reason on the draw is showing up as being played at Dudley Oval, so I'm not sure what's happening there. Not sure if that's a hangover from when Dudley was in the draw or just a bit of a technical glitch. As we know, there's a couple on the site. But yeah, I'd expect that they'll probably beat Katara. I think Belmont South might get them, but I just can't see. Belmont South have got a really tough run home, even with that game in hand. They'd need to win, well, essentially all four of those games against, and they play Dora Creek twice, Shortland and Stockton. So they play the other top four sides across their last four games. They do have three of those at home though, but I expect, looking at what we've got there, Stockton will finish minor premiers on 22. Shortland will finish second on 20. Actually, no, sorry. I will have Belmont South finishing second on 20. Shortland will finish third on 20 with an inferior for and against. Dora Creek will finish on 18 points. Katara will finish on 12. Raymond Terrace will finish on 10. Fingal Bay will finish on 8. And Cardiff will finish on 6. I don't think they'll win another game. So I don't know that the ladder will change drastically. Belmont South will probably go into second. Again, they don't have home grounds for the finals. They generally play more at common venues like Lakeside or St John. So I think the first week of the finals will see Belmont South play Shortland, Dora Creek play Katara, and Stockton will have the week off.
Week off, mate.
So yeah, so I think the boost of those points that they brought with them from B grade will be the difference. On to this week's games, mate. There's only three matches. The first one, A grade, Belmont South, Dora Creek, Friday night, Bar TV, Lenigan Oval. Get down there if you can. 6:30 Friday night. It's a little bit early, but it will be cast on Bar TV. I think it might only be the first or second A grade game of the year that's been on there. There's been a lot of B grade they've been doing on the Friday night games, but there's games every day of the weekend with catch up games to be played. B grade on Saturday, Woodbury versus Wallsend Maryland, first versus second up at Fred Harvey Oval there, mate. That'll be an absolute cracker. It's also Woodbury's Old Boys Day. So that will be an absolute bumper clash. And the final match of the round, C grade, Dungog versus Swansea, Sunday, 2 o'clock at Bennett Park. Mate, that promises Dungog. They've been struggling, but I'm hearing they're G'd right up for this one. And a quick mention, mate, the Windale boys, Matty Garrick and Drew Buxton, they've given me some grief on Facebook about tipping East Maitland last week. East Maitland were undefeated going into the game. Windale put on a clinic over East Maitland. 44-10 they beat them. So big shout out to the boys from the Eagles. I did pull on the boots for a couple of games with those boys back in, geez, test the memory now, 2008. After I finished up the season with Lakes, they were our feeder club, and good bunch of boys out there. They all love their footy and love a drink, mate, and hopefully see a lot of those boys going deep into the competition and might see a Windale versus East Maitland grand final. I wouldn't be surprised. Boys from Windale will be full of confidence as they head into the back end of the season.
Is just reading with a bit of interest, mate. Is Aberglasson there in the C grade?
Yes, that's correct, mate.
I was going through their team list, mate, and I discovered that one of my cousins plays for Aberglasson. I didn't know that, but shout out to Ricky Balcom, mate.
Ricky Balcom's your cousin.
He is there one you of go. My cousins.
Mate, great ally, acquaintance of the show, as you might like to call him. Shane Tapper is a Aberglasson legend. I think Tapp's about 74 with a receding hairline that's halfway down his back, and wears about, I'm going to estimate about 6 to 7 rolls of strapping tape. Coach Mick Akers might be able to confirm exactly how much it is, but yeah, the old war horse is a bit past his prime, but it doesn't stop him. He's a firebrand. He took out the whistle for a bit, and now he's gone back to just beating up blokes in the front row. So There's a good bunch out there at Aberglasslyn as well, and they'll be right in that mix with those two sides. It's a fairly open competition, but we'll probably have a bit more of a look as we head into that general buy next weekend, off the back of the general buy next weekend. Into the Newcastle Rugby League, mate, we're getting deep into the show, so we're going to probably have to fire through this pretty quickly. We've got Cessnock 25, defeat of West 12, mate. What an upset. Joey Woodbury a double, Sam Apthorpe a try and four goals. Cessnock, well, that puts them back in the mix. Only two wins now behind West, who's sitting fifth.
Yeah, I think they might have left their run a bit too late, mate, but anything can happen in the real NRL.
Yeah, mate, there's only a few rounds to go, so they're going to need to, I think there's four rounds to go, so they're going to really need to probably win them all on the way home to get the 16 points, which will probably be the cutoff. South, though, mate, 40. Harry Van Dardle, the former Canberra Raiders NYC player, three tries. Lachlan Walmsley and Thomas Cronin, two tries. They beat Macquarie 24. With their try machine, Matty Simon, getting a double, mate. South.
Good career change.
Oh, yeah, mate. I know this Matt Simon, and he's a lot better bloke. And, yeah, he's of Indigenous descent, so you can tell him away from the other Matt Simon, who's an absolute flog that played for the Mariners and Sydney FC. Next up, mate, Lakes 22. They beat Curry 12. It's the second week in a row Lakes have defeated Curry at Carl Oval. Obviously, the asbestos issue got cleared up there. And the final match of the round, mate, Central 36, Maitland 34. Simon Williams a double for the Butcher Boys. Elliot Jennings a treble and two tries to Dylan Clark. Mate, 6-7. Central won the game with less tries. The laser boot of Stevie Gordon, 6-6. Central led by 20 with 30 to go. So I suggest Coach Barney Miller would have put some rockets up the boys after the game and nearly letting that lead slip.
Yeah, and I suppose they'll get a lot of confidence out of beating Maitland, mate. And that was the Bar TV match, wasn't it?
I believe it was, yeah.
A couple of like the league and the union matches last week, mate, were decided by a couple of points and were absolute crackers. So,
yeah, good stuff. Yeah, exactly, mate. So, ladder now, Lakes on top on their own on 16, South on 14. Now, I'm going to have a look at a couple of these teams quickly. South on 14, Curry on 10. After five rounds, South were 1-4, and they were eighth. They're now 7-5. That means out of their last seven games, they've won six of them. Curry, on the other hand, were 4-1 after five rounds, and they were first. They're now 5-6, meaning that they've won one of their past six games. Mm. They've obviously still got that game in hand against West. But they now sit sixth outside of the top five. It's amazing how the season's just flipped on its head. Mate, we were writing South off. Lakes and South, if you looked at the Herald at the start of the year, I believe were tipped to finish 7th and 8th. They're sitting 1st and 2nd. Just shows how hard this comp is to pick. We've got South and Maitland both on 14, Central on 13, West on 12, Curry on 10, Cessnock on 8, Macquarie on 7. Macquarie's another one. They were sitting. They won their first three games. They've got not 1 point from the remaining 9 games. Adam Bettridge's not a happy man. I know they've had a horrific injury toll, but they've got to be looking at 2019 now because, I mean, essentially, West and Curry have a game in hand on them. So what best result for them is that Curry win, and that puts two teams 5 points in front of them. With four games to go, the best they can finish on is 15. I just can't see 15, you know, especially with their four and against being minus 73. I can't see 15 or probably even Cessnock 16 being enough to get in.
Put a line through Macquarie, mate.
Yeah, we'll rule out Macquarie and Cessnock now, mate. All right, speaking of, let's get into round 13. Curry Central, 3 o'clock Saturday. Curry Sports Ground, the graveyard, mate. Who do you like here?
Central.
Short and sweet, mate. I expect Central to go on with another win, mate. Second up, Maitland host Macquarie, Saturday 3 o'clock at Maitland Sports Ground.
Maitland's got to bounce back from last week, mate.
Maitland to bounce back, yeah, mate. Macquarie, I just don't know where the motivation is for them. Like, they'll keep turning up, don't get me wrong. Adam Bettridge will have them G'd up, but I can't see him getting the win. Two big winners from last week. Lakes, the ladder leaders, host Cessnock. Can Cessnock keep the mathematical chance alive with an upset at Carl Oval? Lakes at home for the third or fourth week in a row.
Don't think Carl Oval will be getting a ground of the round, mate, because too much asbestos down there, but I think Lakes will...
I don't know what you're talking about, but carry on.
I think Lakes will win.
Ground of the month, ground as the award is, mate.
Ground of the round sounds better.
No, yeah, I don't care what sounds better. We're not doing one every week. It's too time-consuming. And Lakes. Mate, it's based on the surface. It's not based on the asbestos in the switchboard. I'm going to go to Cessnock. I was impressed with the highlights I saw of them.
Just put a line through them 5 minutes ago.
I put a line through them making the finals, but I think they can win this game. I think they can upset some teams on their way home. So I'm going to go to Cessnock, as much as it stings me as a Lakes boy. Next up, final match, the Bar TV match of the round, the local derby, the grudge match, Harker Oval, Sunday, 3 o'clock, West host South. Mate, West... They'll be very disappointed with last week's surprise loss to Cessnock. Can they bounce back? Mate, they're a roller coaster.
Benny Cross, mate. It'll be nomination for Coach of the Year, I reckon. And I think South will win, mate.
Might have to fight off Toddy Edwards, I think, mate, for that honour. But, yeah, they'll both be right up there. I think South will go down. I think West will be up for the occasion. Jack Johns, man of the match. And a Ryan Stigg field goal to win the game, 15-14.
Mate, you must have a lot of time in your hand to think of these hypothetical things, mate.
Oh, mate, some of us have got to put some preparation into this business. Northern New South Wales NPL, mate, a bit of round ball action. Speaking of round ball, the FFA Cup is in play as we speak. Majerovsky's got a couple of goals, and Broadmeadow, after about an hour of play, lead Canberra FC 3-1 after conceding an early goal. James Virgilia has gone off injured, though.
Can we get an official confirmation? What is the temperature in Canberra, mate?
Mate, you've got a weather app on your phone. I'll let you figure that out. Round 18 action, the Jets 4, Lake Macquarie 3, Kai Tapaldo with a goal in the second minute, Yurasi Petrados a double, the 17th in the 56, and Josh Cairelli in the 82nd. Lake Macquarie's 3 came from Sam Walker, a double, the 39th and the 45th. Your man Sammy Walker, equal leading goal scorer.
He's going to get the golden boot.
Mitch Hunter in the 80th. Next up, mate, Adamstown 1, Western 2. Adamstown a penalty in the 87th minute to Finley Beasley. Two red cards. Robbie Turnbull in the 21st. We had a look at the footage just before, mate.
That was good.
Yeah, mate. Bring back the biff.
UFC.
And then Ben Higgins got two yellows. His second yellow came in the 4th minute of second half stoppage time to see him red carded. Weston's two goals came from a goal in the 2nd minute to Chris Hurley and a penalty to Nathan Morris in the 19th after a deliberate handball. Mate, Broadmeadow. This is goal-a-thon. 5-0 at Valentine against Valentine. Cal Bradbury in the 24th and the 27th. James Virgilli in both halves in stoppage time. And Josh Piddington in the 60th. That sees Virgilli pull level with Sammy Walker at the top. Hamilton and Maitland a dour nil-all draw. And Charlestown City nil, Edgeworth 2. Renee Ferguson an own goal in the 8th minute. And Daniel McBreen, the man of the moment. He's about 63 years old and he scored in the 66th minute.
He did, mate.
And last night, mate, due to the Jets' travel, they've moved a couple of their games around, and Lambton played the Jets' youth side, and they got up 3-0. Michael Kantorowski with a 33rd-minute goal, Ridge Marpin 62nd, and Marcus Duncan in the 88th. So that sees the Jaffers jump into second, mate, for the moment with a game up. So Edgeworth are on 36, Lambton 33, Broadmeadow 32, Maitland 26, Hamilton 23, the Jets' youth. Sorry, that should be Hamilton 24, I think. Or is it 23?
That was 22
when I checked the 23, scores. No, it's definitely 23 because they had the draw on the weekend. They were level with Charlestown. Jets Youth 23, Charlestown 22, Western 19, Adamstown 17, Lake Mac 16 and Valentine 8.
The Valentine and Wooden Spoon.
Yeah, mate, they are locked into that Wooden Spoon.
Sammy Walker, golden boot.
Yeah, well, he's level with Virgilli, mate. Edgeworth, be interesting to see. Yeah, Edgeworth will look like they're in the box seat for the minor premiership. Listener, mate. Mate, what are your thoughts?
Your top four. Of the show, mate. You with your man.
Your top four, mate. How does it finish? Edgeworth first.
Yes. Broadmeadow second. Lambton third. And I'm going to go with our man, Rhys Cooper, Hamilton in fourth.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I had Hamilton sneaking in there into fourth. And yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see. As we said there, the leading goal scorers, James Virgilli and Sammy Walker, both on 14 after 15 games apiece. Cal Bradbury, 12 from 17 games. Braden Crowley from Lambton on 8 and Matt Comerford from Maitland on 8 as well. This week's games in the NPL, mate. Lake Mac host Hamilton. I think that'll be an opportunity for Hamilton to gain 3 points. That'll be crucial for them.
Yeah. Rhys Cooper with a double.
Really, mate? Rhys Cooper with a double as they win 3-1, and Sammy Walker will get a goal just to boost his chances with James Virgilli potentially out with a leg injury.
Yes.
Charlestown City, they host Adamstown, mate. This is must-win for the Blues if they want to keep their finals hopes alive. Hard to believe that only about 7 or 8 weeks ago they were sitting on top of the ladder.
They were the fan favourites, mate. But, I think this will be a draw.
Draw?
Draw. 2-2.
2-2 draw, mate. I'll go the Blues to keep their finals hopes alive. Next up, mate, the resurgent Western Bears hosting Valentine FC. Q Jallion's at the back, mate.
Kids.
No, he's been on the field the last couple of weeks. I think he's the difference, and I think they'll put 3 or 4 on Valentine up there at Rockwell Automation Park on Sunday.
Western by 5.
By 5.
Valentine were the team we watched last week, weren't they?
Yeah, they were horrendous. They were horrible. I've sent them twice now, and I'm not paying to see them again. If anyone from Northern New South Wales NPL, can I have my money back, please? Edgeworth host Maitland in the match of the round, mate. Sunday 2:45, a slightly delayed kickoff at Jack McLaughlin Oval. Mate, I think Daniel McBreen with a goal here to see Edgeworth out 3-0 winners against Maitland, basically put one mitt firmly on that minor premiership and push Maitland down into the pressure zone, because that will see them pull level, I believe, with Hamilton. I've lost my ladder. I've gone the wrong way here. Your ladder's wrong, so don't look at it. So Hamilton, yeah, we'll go to 26.
And if Maitland lose, they'll be on 26.
And what's the goal differences, mate, quickly?
Hamilton is on 4, Maitland's on 14 at the moment.
So Maitland got the advantage there, unless there's some big results. So, mate, Edgeworth 4-1. Plenty of Edgeworth 4-1. Lovely, yep. Mate. I like it.
Give Hamilton a chance.
Yeah, they need all the help. Mate, so that's the NPL. No updates on the Broadmeadow Magic game as of yet. So we'll move on to your code, mate, the NHRU. I'm
just going to do a little shout-out, mate. Congratulations to Michael Hill. He's been about 1,000 clubs, but he was inducted into the NDCA Life Membership. Not Hall of Fame. He got Life Membership last night at the AGM. And
the reason we're doing this now, or?
I just wanted to get in before the rugby, mate, and the NDCA named their merit team of the year.
Yeah, I did see that, mate.
Our favourite red-headed Indigenous cricketer was in there.
Our two favourites, mate, the two Price brothers.
I did have it written down somewhere.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. You want to read through it quickly? You've got about 12 seconds.
Nathan Price of Wall's End, Rahul Bakhtishi from Cardiff Uluru, Bakshi, whatever his name is, Simon Moore from Merriweather, Joseph Price from Dylan Hunter, Matt Gawthrop, Adrian Chad, Tim O'Neill, Peter Lozjek, John Gray, Sam Palmer, and the keeper from Charlestown, Matthew Bench.
A little bit. There's a couple of surprises there. Interesting to see Sam Palmer. Only two West players in it. And, also interesting they picked 12, mate. Was Nathan Price the 12th man? Or?
No, he's top.
Just because he's at the top of the list doesn't mean he's not the 12th man.
He could have been.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll say he was. Newcastle Hunter Rugby Union, mate. We'll start off the X-Men's match. Hamilton 66, Singleton 14. Tom Coop with a hat-trick. Steve Lamont and Fiso Vasagote with a double, mate.
Yes.
Mate, 10 tries.
Flexing their muscles, mate.
Yeah, literally, mate.
Big X, mate.
Got some good chuckles, apparently. A few people like my line about him having more hookers than Islington. although I'm told that based on the melons on the hookers that they've got, no one would pay for them. Is that fair?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, lovely, mate. That sees Hamilton really put a grip on the top of the table. Southern Beaches 29, University 22. Marlon Solafuti, the big man, and Robert Richardson with doubles. Probably could have been a bit more convincing, but for the boot of Adrian Delore was a bit wayward, 2 from 5.
I know they haven't won goal many games. Mate,
I don't know that Adrian Delore is probably a first-choice goalkeeper, so they've really been struggling a little bit, I think. He's doing what he can. No criticism there, but they were fortunate. Robert Richardson, I believe, right on just for full time.
Yes,
length play of the field, intercept to score and win. And University 22 came from 3 tries, 2 conversions, and a penalty. So got out of jail there, mate. Speaking of Dower, 18-6. Some would love it, some wouldn't. 6-3 at half time to Wanderers. Nelson Bay ran away winners for the first time in
26 years
at number 2, not against two, Wanderers. Yeah. So yeah. And they only use one reserve.
Who's that? Nelson Bay,
yeah.
Yeah, they did.
But you confirm that?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great effort by Nelson Bay, which sees them climb back up a little. So the ladder now looks like...
you missed one.
What did I miss? Oh, sorry, I did too.
The match of the round.
The match of the round. Maitland 40, Merriweather Carlton 36. Chris Logan, 4 tries. Sam Bright, his boot was a little wayward, a bit like Adrian Delors, 3 goals from 6 attempts, while Pat Beatty's 4 Maitland. 5 from 6, so...
26 all at half-time.
Right, exactly right. Two unconverted tries in the second half versus 2 converted tries. That's the difference.
Yeah, and a lot of people saying on social media that this was the best match they've seen at the frostbitten Marcellin Oval in years, mate.
So, hang on, is it the best match they've seen when it's been frostbitten, or is it just the best match they've seen at Marcellin?
The best match they've seen at Marcellin. And I was just putting in there that they've had a touch of frost, mate.
Yeah, we got the idea. Everyone's been through the cold snap. Like, we're not sitting here sunning ourselves. Well, I will be next week, but, that's not yet. So the ladder, Hamilton 50, Nelson Bay 46, Merriweather Carlton 44, Wanderers 43, Maitland 42, Southern Beaches 29, they're gone. Singleton 21, gone. Uni 16, gone. And Lake Macquarie 4, definitely gone.
Shout out to Chris Hunt, mate, a new subscriber to the pod, a big fan.
I hear you like have to like duct tape him to his seat in the car at work and make him listen to it.
He loves it, mate. Yeah, he beautiful. Loves it.
I hear Lake Macquarie are really eyeing off trying to get chalk that one win, and there might be some...
Is there a big signing for this week?
There might be some more signings, I'm hearing. Yeah, there was one that's been cleared, the ever-youthful Marty Luisa, yeah, the age of 97 years of age.
Is he taking his son?
Mate, we're talking about the other day, and I tell you what, I still wouldn't run at him, would you?
No, I'd never ran at him.
Yeah, well...
Never thought about it.
You're not meant to run at anyone, but you did that last year.
I did once.
Yeah,
you learned your lesson. That ended.
Yeah, exactly right.
So Marty Luisa is there, and I believe Mr. Rocabaro is out for the next... Is it from this week or next week he's out?
Yeah, representing classic Fijians with Hamilton, mate.
There's a training session tomorrow night.
Yeah, you got to register if you're any junior players are welcome. Just jump on the Hamilton Hawks Facebook page. Just having a look at the runs home, mate. Lake Mac, they're obviously aiming for a win, but they play the four of the top five sides, so they've got their work cut out for them. Mate, I can't see with Hamilton having Uni and Lake Macquarie in the next 2 weeks and then Beaches after that, I can't see anyone knocking them off for the minor premiership.
No, I think they're home, mate.
Big game this weekend, Merriweather Carlton and Nelson Bay at Boyd Oval.
Yes, one of the...
Downtown Madawi.
It's not third grade, is it?
Make sure you turn up. Don't forfeit, boys. You get in trouble, then Facebook lights up.
That'd be a cracker.
Then those two both, Nelson Bay then play Maitland. Merriweather Carlton would back themselves with a run home of Uni, Lake Macquarie, Southern Beaches after that. So I'd like to think they'll probably finish second, especially considering Nelson Bay and Wanderers both have a bye. But Maitland are probably the most blessed in terms of their run home. They play Singleton, Nelson Bay, University and Lake Macquarie. Admittedly, all three of the easier teams, the non-top five sides, they have to get on the road for. But Maitland would be pretty confident, maybe chalking, you know, anywhere between 15 and 20 points there, I reckon.
Yeah, the form there at the moment. The big plus is that Nelson Bay at home because they got beat in the torrential rain earlier in the year.
I'm going to call it. I'm going to call Hamilton will finish the year on about, I'm going to say...
70?
69. See what I did there?
I can see what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, 69 points.
Who's
there?
That player that rocks jersey number 69?
Big Paddy Gillingham. 69 points. I think Maitland will probably finish on about, I'm going to say 60. One, I'm going to say they won't get a bonus point against Nelson Bay at home, but they'd still be pretty happy with 61. So 69, 61. Nelson Bay, I think they're only going to probably pick up another 6 points, so they'll finish on 52. Merriweather Carlton will finish on, what do we got? 4, 8, 12, 16, 20. So they'll finish on 64. They'll probably finish second. And Wanderers will finish on 54. So they'll have Wanderers fourth, Nelson Bay fifth, Merriweather Carlton second, Maitland third.
Jeez. Keep up, and I've got it on the screen in front of me, mate.
The rest of them, I don't think there's too much happening there. So, but again, you know, some of those teams down the bottom that play a couple of them, the likes of Lake Macquarie, Uni, especially Lake Macquarie if they get some, you know, players in Southern Beaches, they play Wanderers, Hamilton, Merriweather Carlton. Southern Beaches have made a track record in recent years of knocking over Hamilton at home.
I know they haven't had the best year all year, but...
each one of these will be a grand final for them on the way home, I reckon. But,
yeah, Southern Beaches have, from all reports, mate, they really put it in against the big couple of teams. They just didn't get the win, but for 60 minutes, they dominated.
Mate, they've got that many 7-point loss bonus points. They haven't been that far away against a lot of sides.
The Canberra Raiders are the NHL.
So, yeah, mate, they'll be right in the mix. This weekend, mate, Hamilton versus Uni at Passmore. Nelson Bay versus Merriweather, Boyd Oval at Madawi. Surprisingly not the match of the round, but I hear that Gareth wasn't prepared to go to Madawi. His health insurance doesn't cover that. That sounds feasible. Singleton versus Maitland at Rugby Park Singleton, where one Jennifer Lopez will be refereeing.
J-Lo will be there for the Gresham Saroff Shield, mate, which promises to be a big one.
It does, mate. Singleton always set up for that Coalfield Derby. And Wanderers host Lake Macquarie, number 2 sports ground. The Bar TV match of the round, and if the... Evergreen Marty Luisa turns up, you know that he's going to be grinding it out, and I'm hearing they might have a couple of other imports, and they'll be stretching every possible point that they can out of that player point system.
I'm sure they will be, mate.
I mean, it's good to see in some ways, just because, I mean, it's not like they're really relegating anyone that's a first grader. They've literally been struggling to field a team. So if it was the other case that they're just, you know, stocking it in and dropping their blokes, then I wouldn't be happy with it. But no, good to see. Beaches do have the bye, which sees the end of their finals hopes. But, mate, the big stuff, Southern fourth grade.
Massive.
Friday night, Passmore Oval, three games. First versus fourth at the start of the night. Maitland and Hamilton, 7:20. Southern Beaches hosting Waratahs, fifth versus sixth. Winner holds on to fifth. If Waratah win, they get a bit of a gap. Who am I going for? I'll be there. I'll be spending at least 40 of the 50 minutes on the bench puffing. And match of the night, 8:15, Uni versus Carlton. That should be an absolute cracker. So plenty on offer there. And we might just have a quick run through the divisional before we wrap up, mate. There's some interesting runs home here. So at the moment, the ladder, Waratah and East one, both only the one loss. Waratah do have a 6-point gap, though, due to East one. Somehow remarkably, both times they've played East two, they've had
draws. Draw on the weekend, yeah, mate. Sus about that.
So, yeah, so 63, East one on 57, Southern Lakes back on 50. Musselbrook 44, Singleton Lions 40, Cooks Hill 33, and East 2 on 29. Bacolban, Cessnock, and Griffins all done and dusted. Poor old Griffins are having a worse season than Lake Macquarie. End up only three times this year, got in double figures.
Griffins?
Yeah.
Right. Couldn't lift for Trenchy's well, 450th.
7,000th game. So, mate, there's some interesting runs home. I think the Waratahs will clinch the minor premiership, but yeah, certainly a lot of top five battles as you come into the finals.
3 weeks, mate. East one.
East one versus Waratah, second last round. So yeah, that'll be an absolute belter.
Danger Arms Park, mate.
Yeah. So I can't see. I think that Waratah will beat Colburn and Cessnock pretty easily. They should get over Musselbrook, who's hitting fourth as well, which will mean that by the point they get to that game, they will still be 6 points clear, which will be a bridge too far. But East one should finish second. They got the 7-point gap. I don't think we'll see too much of a change. Probably the only team I can see sneaking in is maybe East 2. They do play Singleton next week. So if they could upset Southern Lakes and then beat Singleton, they finish with Griffins and Bacolban, so they could get to 49. But that would then require Singleton only beating Cessnock and not picking up points against Cooks Hill and Musselbrook. So interesting to see. And of the Brown Snakes can always get a win there too and mix it up a little. But, mate, I just want to see the Griffins. They play Pacolban, who are two spots above them, Cessnock, who are one spot above them, East 2, who are three spots above them, and Cooks Hill. So all the other teams that aren't in the top five is their run home. So Griffins, just a couple of bonus points, something.
Get there.
Come on, Trenchy, something. Trenchy, something for the Battlers.
Trenchy, go to 5-8, do something.
Pick yourself wherever you want, Trenchy. So, mate, we might, before we get into the man of the week, we'll the ground of the month nominations. I don't know if you've received any as of yet.
Chris Hunt from work, he nominated Disneyland.
Oh,
I
think okay,
that's a bit of bias because he's been playing there for 20 years.
I played out there a couple of weeks ago and, yeah, no. we did have two nominations, mate. We had the lovely Rugby Park at Singleton was nominated to us by a couple of people. And the second nomination, mate, was the Groper Dome, surprisingly, two rugby union grounds. So I'm not always a fan of the Groper Dome. It's known to have some bunkers. It's not a great place to go and visit. Neither of them are easy places to go and visit. But just due to the fact that we had more than one nomination for it this week, this month's ground of the month, is Rugby Park at Singleton, mate. So you can go get some photos and we'll put those up on the weekend if you want.
Take some selfies with the blades of grass at God's Acre, mate.
Yeah, mate. There's been some controversial moments there over the years. I remember game kicking off with only one team on the field once upon a time. Enough said. I don't want you to comment on that because that could be awkward. Anyway, so congratulations to the boys at Singo. It is a great deck out there. You'd enjoy running on it when you go up there. It's a good trip.
No, it is. It's very good. It's always good. It's always green.
She's God's got acre, God's acre, mate. She's a good spot up there.
Steve Merrick, he must have done something up there.
Yeah, he uses only the best quality manure. Man of the week, mate, brought to you by Matthews Mowing and Maintenance. And our nominations this week, so we might go from the bottom. Harry Van Dartle at South Newcastle. He got a hat trick against Macquarie. Nice to left.
What positions he play?
Playing fullback most of the year, mate. Nice. Benny Cross would have been giving him a nice firm pat on the back, I would have thought.
He's not the one that got the video sent to Melbourne.
Nah, that's Lachlan Walmsley. He got a double on the weekend. Next up, mate, a surname you might recognise.
Brother of?
Yerassi Petrados, little brother of Socceroo Dimi and Jets superstar. He got a double against Lake Macquarie to lead the Jets youth to a 4-3 win. And finally, the winner, your brother, Chris Logan another from the Maitland Blacks. Mother. 4 tries against Merriweather Carlton. So congratulations to Chris Logan. Another rugby union winner. 2 Maitland winners in a row. We had Maitland Pickers last week. Maitland Blacks. It's all about the Coalfields this week, mate.
Yes, certainly is, mate. But yeah, he had an awesome game against the Greens, and his solo and him and Beatty combined to get the win, mate.
Yeah, they did. Pat Beatty's been very good for them this year. They're first looking good, mate. Too. They're looking very good. That forward pack's looking really strong. You know, Willie So, Uweini, Travis Brook,
Johnson. They don't even have the other half of the Uweinis, mate.
Yeah, mate. That's just it's a phenomenal forward pack. So well done to Chris Logan, mate. That's a wrap. We've gone for about 7 hours tonight. It's been great. Thank you again for your time here in the Jared Mullen Studios.
Jared Mullen Studios.
You've got a lot on the plate at the moment. 700 trips to Sydney in a week and family strife, and it's all happening, mate. A few health concerns and those sorts of things. So
more headlines than Bold and the Beautiful, mate.
Yeah, mate, it's a drama. But again, mate, if everyone could make sure they subscribe on iTunes, give us a rating and a review. I'm sure you've done that already.
I have, mate. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. And if you give us a good review, I'll jump on there and I'll read them out in the show. So just remember that the iTunes store don't publish things with swearing in it, unfortunately. But, you know, you can allude to things, question Jared's sexuality, do whatever you want. I don't mind. or mine. But, yeah, thanks again. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, get amongst it. Constantly on Twitter and Facebook. There's plenty of banner there. If you want some coverage, I think we're going to have possibly someone on the next couple of weeks. It'll be the Women's Rugby Union. If you've got a sport you want to cover and it's not Big Al, if you've got a sport you want to cover and you want to get amongst it, yeah, get in touch with us. A shout out to our podcast friends too, Crossbar Capers. Thanks again to Josh last week. The Smashing Crossbar podcast. They're going on to bigger and better things, and we're looking at doing some more partnerships with them later in the year. So thanks, mate, for your time. Thanks, no everyone, worries, for tuning mate. In, and hopefully we'll see you in another 25 episodes for number 50.
Yeah, mate. Grasshoppers will be four-peat by then.
Four-peat. Dominating. Thanks, mate.
All right, see ya.